Welcome to Talking Family, Talking Life. And it's been a while. And can I tell you, I drive myself nuts more than any other person drives me nuts. We all are swamped with life and our schedules and different things. And for weeks, if not months, I'm thinking, man, I want to do my podcast. I want to do my podcast. And I keep putting things and things and things in front of something that I really enjoy doing, which is this podcast. And so finally decided just to do it because I love doing it. I believe God has led me to do this podcast. And here I am doing it. And hopefully, prayerfully, we can be, or I can be, more consistent with it in the days and weeks ahead. And, you know, as the older I get, I'm 42 now, started this ministry thing at age 22. And the older I get, the more passionate I get about family ministry, youth ministry. And I don't see that ending anytime soon. So, you know, as far as my vision, where we'll go from podcast to podcast, I don't know, but I will go as God so leads. You know, one thing that you hear a lot here in the last few weeks, maybe longer than that, is how Disney's a problem. Disney's going down this path. Disney's doing this. Boycott Disney. Don't watch Disney here. Be careful with Pixar and on we can go. You know, many of you know the new Lightyear movie that came out, and of course they have that scene, that controversial scene that's in there with the two females kissing and so forth, and you know, parents are up in arms, family are up in arms, and I mean obviously, you know, and you know, according to scripture and my beliefs and so forth, I'm not happy with that at all either. And we're just thinking, man, Disney is a problem. And I'm here to tell you, Disney is a problem, but it's not the problem. You know, when I was growing up, man, we're going back to the 80s, we're going back to the, you know, 90s, and man, the times that youth pastors and pastors talked about the dangers and the evilness, if you would, of MTV, and be careful that horrible music that you listen to, and they weren't wrong in that, and that is a huge problem back then. And we have, obviously, all the way you fast forward to 2022, and we have all sorts of different problems that our young people face today. It's not MTV. MTV's still around, but we have a whole different method of how teenagers get their entertainment today as we know that. And there's a lot of problems that are out there that our teenagers face. But if you were to ask me what is one of the biggest problems, if not the big issue, the big problem that our families and that our children are facing today, it's not outside the four walls of our homes or our houses that we call home. The problem lies within the four walls. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul gives a warning, if you would, to Timothy. And here's what he says. He says, there will be a time, for a time is coming, when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. You know, when you look up, by the way, I have horrible sinuses and allergies right now, so if you hear me sniffing the whole time, that's the reason I cannot breathe right now. But if you look up the Greek word for itching, that literally means to itch, rub, scratch, or tickle. In other words, you know, people would rather get their ears massaged rather than hear what the actual message is that a teacher or preacher might be given. We live in a society today. We have churches today, people filled with churches today, where they want to be entertained. They want to laugh. To be amused, if you would, rather than be edified. We have people today that rather have that charming message, that feel-good message, rather than challenge. And I'm just like many people where I want to go in on a Sunday and I want to be encouraged. And when we go and we listen to God's Word preached on a Sunday or at a Bible study or whatever it might be, I think they're obviously we should be encouraged to walk in truth. But as we know, there are times when the truth is convicting and in many cases can be hurtful. I would be lying to you if I said that there have been many times where I will teach and preach and not say maybe what I want to say because I don't want to stir the pot or I don't want to make people upset or I don't want to offend people. But I don't want to, as Paul talked about here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I don't want to be one of those people that just gives people always what they want to make them feel good. And I want to do that as much as I can as God leads. But as God lays things on my heart as a pastor, as a youth pastor, I've got to deliver what I think God is on my heart to teenagers or to the adults and different people I minister, specifically here at Grace or wherever God leads week in and week out. Having said all of that, I do believe that there is a huge problem, and the problem that many of our families facing today, like I said a few moments ago, lies within the four walls of our home. And God forbid if I was the source of the spiritual problems of my family. If my family ever struggled spiritually or got into a very low spiritual time in their life, God forbid that I would be the person that would be responsible for that and led my family to that. But we as parents, I believe, have forgotten the responsibility that God has bestowed upon us as leaders of the home. We can have group discussions with I could have a Bible study. Matter of fact, in August, I'm going to have, hopefully, a small group for parents in my home in August. That will be centered on parenting. And there will be a lot of ideas and thoughts and concerns and questions about how do we lead our homes today? How do we fix families today? And as I was preparing for this podcast earlier, I wrote down four things off the top of my head where I believe families are failing today. And we get tired of hearing, and I know I do sometimes, we get tired of hearing what's wrong with families, families failing and all those things. But the fact of the matter, as the overused saying goes, it is what it is. I get burdened. I get angry. I get sad when I encounter families over all these years of ministry, when I encounter families and families of the church, Christian families, that are missing it. Is the Click family perfect? Absolutely not. We're the furthest thing from perfect. But I believe myself, my wife, I believe, if it sounds bragging, it sounds bragging, but I don't intend for it to sound that way. But I believe we do everything that we humanly possibly can by the power of God to lead our home the best we can. And that's Christ first. Some of you, do we do that perfectly every day? Of course not. But I hope and I pray that we can get to a point where we can say day in and day out, God is number one. Sometimes families say, yeah, God is first in our home. And as they say that, they know they are lying. Can I just give you three or four things that I think is some of the biggest issues that families are dealing with today? That is the reason that their homes are struggling, the spiritual lives of their children are struggling, their marriages are struggling, whatever it might be. This first one involves the children. It's this right here. One issue that I believe is facing families today, now more so than ever, is the whole thing of freedom without accountability. Freedom without accountability. There's all kinds of different methods and ideas on how you should parent. I do things with my children a certain way that works and sometimes doesn't work. You may parent one way that's a little different than mine that might work, that might not work. But one thing that I have seen is that we give our children so much freedom in our homes today with zero accountability. We will give them a weapon. I'm not talking about a gun. I'm not talking about a knife. We'll give them a weapon. We'll give them a phone. We'll give them a laptop and say, here you go. And that's it. You know, as cancer gets into a body, whether it's bone cancer, liver cancer, lung cancer, it gets within our body and it destroys us from the inside and unfortunately, in many cases, kills the person. Spiritually speaking, we throw our kids, give them 100% freedom and all these things. We say, hey, yeah, you can hang out with these group of people. Yeah, here's a phone, here's a laptop, here's a TV in your room, here's all of these things. And we don't hold them accountable and never, ever, ever follow up and check in to see what they're doing. Never give them guidelines. Never see really what they're doing. Never find out who they really are associating themselves with. And then weeks or months later, we find out our kid's doing this, or our kid's involved in pornography, or our kid's got with a group of people they shouldn't be with, and on I can go. And we act shocked when our kid's spiritual life is in turmoil. Sarah and I, we allow our kids to have phones. And some of you all will say, you shouldn't do that. Maybe you're right. We do things that may not have been the wisest thing that we've ever done. And I'm sitting here giving this podcast convicted on some things where I think, I got to hold my kids more accountable than what I'm doing and what I am allowing. God has entrusted our kids to us for 18 short years. And we have an obligation and a responsibility that we are not leading them to spiritual suicide. Can I tell you another thing that's just killing? Killing families today is the disappearance of discipline. The disappearance of discipline. I came across this passage today, and I don't know how many times I've read Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 11. But listen to this passage. Hebrews 12, 11. The author of Hebrews, whoever you think that might be, says this about discipline in general. He says, no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful, but afterward there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who trained in this way. For whatever reason, For whatever reason, in many families today, discipline has gone completely out the window. It is like parents today are petrified to discipline their kids out of fear that it might hurt their feelings, or it might make them upset, or it might get them mad at you for imposing that discipline that they need in their life. Scripture is full of passages that talk about the importance of discipline. Parents, we have to remember this. And it says it right here in this passage. No discipline is enjoyable. When we discipline our kids, it better bother them. It better hurt them. It better make them uncomfortable. It better not be easy. I was talking to a kid a while back, and I, you know, gave out some discipline. And I knew it was the right kind of discipline because of the reaction the individual had. And I told the kid that. I said, I know I'm doing the right kind of discipline because it's bothering you. It made him upset. You know, again, let's go back to this passage again. It says, no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But there's a but, B-U-T, but afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. You want to have hope. You want to have some hope of your child turning out spiritually the way we hope they should be and can be. One thing that will and needs to entail is the proper form of discipline. Some parents today only think and wish they were disciplining their child or their children. And again, we can have separate podcasts on what different forms of discipline look like. But if parents were honest with themselves, they would have to look themselves in the mirror and say, you know what? My form of discipline, the way I'm disciplining in my home right now, it ain't working. And that's where we need to get on our knees and seek counsel and seek advice and say, hey, I can't get through to my child. What can I do to help discipline them and show them, to teach them, hey, this isn't going to work? Another thing that I think is just killing families today is this, and it's going to sound different, but 20,000 vision. 20,000 vision. Let me explain. Everybody wants 20/20 vision. If you have 20/20 vision, that means you see perfectly clear. In our families today, and it's a good night. It is a theme and a motto for many churches. 20/20 vision. 20/20 for this year. 20/20. You know, all these different things. We want 20/20 vision for our church. But many families today have what's called 20,000 vision. What's 20,000 vision? I looked this up online. Here's the definition for 20,000 vision. It's such a thing. It says this is considered profound visual impairment, or profound low vision. 20,000 vision is considered profound visual impairment or profound low vision. In our families today, in many families across in the church today, across our country and across our world, we have, when it comes to spiritual vision in our homes, we have profound visual impairment. We have no spiritual focus. We don't have any clear vision spiritually for our children. Oh, we have visions for them to be quote unquote successful out in the world, to be successful in their academics and to be successful in education, and all those things are fine and in its place. But the thing that matters most to have when it comes to having clear spiritual vision for our children, we don't have 20/20. We have 20/20 vision for a lot of other things that have no eternal value whatsoever. But when it comes to 20/20 vision spiritually for our marriages and for our homes, it's more like 20,000. Profound visual impairment or profound low vision. And here's the thing. We as parents know we're almost spiritually blind, and we will do nothing. We will do nothing to change it. So I ask you, and we need to ask ourselves, what do we need to do to correct our vision? My wife was just telling me the other day, our kids need this kid needs glasses, this kid needs their eye checked, this kid needs their eye checked. And there's an urgency to do that because we don't want our kids to have a physical disability of not being able to see clearly. And we know we have children that are spiritually blind and spiritually cannot see, but we will do nothing, hardly anything, to spiritually help them. We will spend hundreds and thousands of dollars to help them succeed in quote-unquote life that is out there. But when it comes to their spiritual life, to help them see 20/20, spiritually see, to see clearly with 20/20 vision, to help them spiritually, we don't have time. We're busy. We don't want to push it. And then this last thing, another thing that's just, I think, killing our homes today is there is no conversation. I didn't say no communication. I said no conversation. You know, one of the things I despise is, and I said despise, and that's a strong term, well, one thing I do despise is giving announcements in any venue, whether it be at a worship service or a youth service, because especially in youth group, because you can give announcements all day, every day. They're not listening. I'm communicating to them, but they're not listening. You know, we communicate to our children all the time. Well, you need to do the dishes. You need to do this chore. You need to go to bed. That's a form of communicating. But homes are missing conversations. We had youth camp 2 weeks ago, and there were a ton of conversations, spiritual conversations that were happening amongst teenagers and and their youth leaders. And I can't help but wonder, and maybe it's happening, I don't know your homes, you know, people listen, you know, from different states on this podcast. When's the last time that you've actually had a spiritual conversation in your home? Not just, hey, what did you learn in youth group tonight? Oh, what did you learn in Sunday school? But when's the last time you had a good old conversation about life, about Jesus, about Scripture, about doctrine, and all those different things? Our families today, and I know people get tired of hearing it, there's a crisis going on in families in the church today. There is a crisis. And some people say there's always been a crisis. You might be right about that. But we just can't just sit aside and wave the white flag and say, well, there's nothing I could do. No, there's still time. As parents, we don't have a lot of time. We don't have a lot of time to influence our children. I've said this for years. You have to about age 16 or 17 to really influence your child in a positive way. Because who they are by the time, especially when they reach a senior in high school, is who they will always be. I'm not saying they won't listen to you as a senior. I'm not saying they won't listen to your advice and wisdom, you know, as they become young adults and enter adulthood. I'm not saying that at all. But if you want to have the strongest impact in your child's life, the strongest impact, that starts from birth to about age 16 or 17, if you're lucky. Don't let the teachers, don't let the coaches, don't let the pastors be the greatest spiritual influence in your child's life. Those three things I just mentioned, coach, teacher, pastor, all those things, I'm every one of those. You as a parent be the greatest, strongest spiritual influence in your child's life. So again, what are the four different issues that I believe that are affecting our families today in a negative way? Freedom without accountability, the disappearance of discipline, 20,000 vision, and no conversation. I encourage you to, again, subscribe to this podcast, send emails with questions and so forth. I am burdened more so than I ever have for families. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. I challenge you and encourage you to do a self-examination, if you would, on your personal life, on your marriages, on your families, and say, hey, do I have 20/20 vision, as the old saying goes, or is it 20,000? What do I need to do to start getting my family back on track? Again, this is, you know, hopefully, even with this podcast, this is an encouragement. I don't want to be a discouragement, but at the same time, I want our families' eyes to be open to some issues that might be facing our families today. Again, this is almost just an intro to probably future podcasts, and we'll probably dive more in depth to some of the things we talked about on this podcast. And again, feel free to email me, contact me anytime with any questions, and hope everyone has a good rest of the day. And again, talking family, talking life, share the podcast, subscribe, and talk to you next time.